listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
As Lincoln warned, when you empower judges or respect the claims of power of judges to do that kind of thing, to engage in that kind of jurisprudence, you give up republican government. You abandon democracy.
From his perspective, there's no distinction between a person who believes what the Bible teaches about homosexuality and a person who would physically assault a student who identifies himself as gay.
It's like hiding the penicillin for a child in applesauce. The hope is that if we can get you to come and learn about parenting, we're going to sneak in a couple little references to a form of the gospel.
Nebraska Oregon students love issues, etc.
This is a little confusing. It's not difficult to clear up the confusion, but it is a little confusing. Ordinarily, when we're reading headlines, often the gruesome headlines surrounding ISIS, the Islamic State, it is because of its members and its leadership inflicting violence on Christians or on suspected Christians or on some other religion. But we're not accustomed to the headline that came out late last week, 142 killed in a bombing, a simultaneously bombing of several mosques in Yemen. A previously unknown branch of ISIS there carrying out this coordinated terrorist attack, Muslim-on-Muslim violence. How do we explain that, especially with respect to the Islamic State? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, the 24th of March. Raymond Ibrahim will join us to talk about the Islamic State's bombing of Shia mosques in Yemen. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be with us. We'll stay on the subject of Islam, turning a bit to the question of whether or not Islam needs a reformation. That was the topic of discussion on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. We'll hear a little bit of that and see what Dr. Alvin Schmidt has to say. Then Pastor Sam Schultheis will join us. We'll talk about some Christian themes in the TV series The Walking Dead. You can join us for the next 1 hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line. It's open 24/7, 618-223-8382. That's 618-223-8382. Joining us to explain the Islamic State's bombing of a Shia mosque in Yemen, in fact, several of them, Raymond Ibrahim, a fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center and the Hoover Institute, and author of the book Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. Raymond, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Good to be with you again.
What's the best explanation for this Muslim-on-Muslim violence?
It's absolutely simple. It's the same explanation for why Muslims kill non-Muslim infidels, Christians, and all other non-Muslim minorities and so forth, which is basically they don't consider them Muslims. When Sunnis kill Shias or Shias kill Sunnis, it's because historically each one has accused the other of being apostates and not true Muslims, because and it's actually a historical split that was based on succession. Most people don't know this. They think they're different. Completely different religions. It actually goes back to the whole succession, the caliphate, and so forth, and they broke away. Each one said, you're the apostate, you're not the true Muslim. So, in short, it's the same idea. They're killing them because they're apostates, they're not true Muslims. It's the same rationale that they use to kill all other non-Muslim infidels.
And with regard to ISIS, or at least in this case, this as yet unknown branch of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant that's located there in Yemen, ISIS makes a big deal about the caliphate, about who really speaks for Islam, right?
Sure, and they call themselves a caliphate because they're trying to implement the exact same pattern that Muhammad and his successors, the caliphs, implemented, which is to enforce, according to the narrative and you know how it's taught in Islamic teaching, which is to enforce exact Islamic Sharia law based on the pattern of the Prophet and so forth. And that's why you see all this bloodshed and atrocities, because the Prophet and the caliph did all that, and they justified it. And it's in the core text of Islam. And so it's that's their rationale. That's why lots of other groups, for example, in Nigeria, Boko Haram, pledged allegiance to ISIS. And why is that? What is Boko Haram? If you're listening to the Western official narrative, Boko Haram is a disparate group. It has nothing to do with ISIS. It's about economic problems in Nigeria and so forth. So why are they doing that? Because in the underlying theme that connects all these groups, of course, is this Islamic worldview of resurrecting a caliphate, going on the offensive, and so forth.
Is the mosque, in this case, I think it was three separate mosques simultaneously attacked by suicide bombers, is that just a target of convenience? You have a lot of people gathered at convenient times that can be easily predicted. Or is there a symbolism, do you believe, that is intended in attacking this way in the Muslim house of prayer?
Well, you see, to them, that's not a Muslim house of prayer. That's a false mosque. It's not. It's actually an abomination because it shows itself as a mosque, and it's not. It's just as bad, if not worse, than a church or a synagogue. That's their rationale. That's their mentality. As far as targeting it, because there's a lot of people, well, that's definitely the case. We see this all the time with church bombings, for example, in Nigeria, and you'll recall perhaps in Iraq, and I think it's 2011, where a church was bombed by a then nascent ISIS group, and I think 60 people were killed. And in Nigeria, it happens all the time. So wherever they do that, oftentimes, and some of the worst attacks, in fact, on churches are during Christmas and Easter, when they're completely packed with people. So they do it for all those reasons.
What is the goal of this, other than simply to take lives? What's the message, ultimately, that ISIS is attempting to send both to the Western world and to the Islamic world?
I think the ultimate message is that they're trying to say that Islam and jihad are back in a big way, just like they were historically. That the Islamic world is no longer going to be, at least in their perception, passive and afraid of Western dominant powers and so forth. And also, you know, they're using this is straight out of the Quran, to strike terror into the hearts of the infidel. That's a verse. So all of this graphic stuff that you see, the videos, the beheadings, setting people on fire and so forth, is meant to demoralize people. I personally don't see how that works, because that's far from demoralizing me. That just, and I would think a lot of people get angry, and perhaps they want that too, because they want people to get angry and to attack, let's say, them, and then Muslims who may be sort of neutral might want to come to the aid of the Islamic State, and that whole thing escalates. So, you know, but what they're doing is really, this is Islam back on the warpath, because what they're doing, what you're seeing, is just a chapter out of history. If you're familiar with Islamic historical primary texts, as I am, everything you're seeing now in the media and so forth has happened before for centuries and all around the world where Islam took over.
So for them, this is an attempt to repristinate Islam to purify Islam and to repristinate it, and to deal, as their texts suggest and command, with all infidels.
Absolutely, they're taking it literally. The exact text. They're not gonna play. There's the Takeya game where Muslims are weak and so forth, and you know, they're commanded to preach peace when weak, but when they're strong, wage war. And in fact, this is why there's always been a split amongst the Islamist groups. And some would say, some Islamic groups will, for example, tell you that what the Islamic State is doing is correct and good, and they support it. But they'll argue this is not the right time because we're not powerful enough, and we can easily, by doing this, we're really exposing the true face of Islam, which may be, you know, backlash and so forth. So that's always been a dominant quarrel between the Islamist circles. When 9/11 happened with Al-Qaeda, they got criticized a lot, not because what they did was wrong, but because it was bad timing, they said. So you get a lot of that as well.
So what do you think of the Western response to events like this, and especially to this one, the bombings in Yemen, the public response of our leaders?
It's one of denial. As I was saying, if you look at what the things that I've said about Islamic history, Islamic doctrine, Islamic teaching, Muslims are saying this all the time. Islamic clerics, authoritative top leaders, it's being taught in places like Al-Azhar and so forth. So this should not be a secret. And, you know, it's translated, it's available all over the place. But it seems that the official the Western narrative is, of course, to insist Islam is a religion of peace. ISIS has nothing to do with Islam. They're just terrorists and so forth, which is why I think the media oftentimes loves to focus in on Muslim-on-Muslim attacks, as you were pointing out. Ostensibly, on the surface, that seems to prove that this has nothing to do with Islam. Why would Muslims? But as I was saying, it's for the same reason. They see each other as imposters, not Muslims, but as moles of Islam, and are trying to subvert it somehow and so forth. And that's been the narrative between the Sunnis and Shiites for almost 1,400 years. But I think the way response really needs to straighten up, and it needs to deal with reality and not keep it and embrace it, because it's not going to go away. And they keep saying this, and they keep doing it, and our Western leaders keep going out of their way to insist it's not the case, even when someone like the Egyptian, who's a Muslim, El-Sisi, is on record in a video telling that we need to do something. We can't continue being the scourge of mankind and being a source of misery to the non-Muslim world. So even he is admitting it and being honest, where our leaders don't want to face reality.
Raymond Ibrahim is a fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center and the Hoover Institute. He's author of the book Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. You can purchase this book under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Raymond, thank you again for your time.
My pleasure, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, staying on the subject of Islam. If you watched The Daily Show, you might have seen a conversation between Jon Stewart and someone who's calling for a reform of Islam. He harkens back to the Christian Reformation, says, you know, if they go back to their primary texts and to purify their teachings, we might end up with more violence. We'll sort that out with Dr. Alvin Schmidt right after this.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
What do lay people owe their pastors? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, What Hearers Owe Their Pastors, Receive the Gift, and you can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Jim Pierce's journey from Pentecostalism, fundamentalism, and atheism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.